I'm Declan Burke, and welcome to The Sit Down, the podcast that explores the mindsets, motivations, and opinions of the brands, agencies, rights holders, and elite talent working with Sport Endorse. Today's guest, Lorna Danaher, is the sponsorship manager for Energia, one of the longest suppliers of green electricity on the island of Ireland, and a brand that has strong experience in collaborating with Sport. Lorna, a law graduate with a couple of marketing degrees as well, has worked across fashion, food, drinks, and the energy sectors, and talks to me about why aligning with Sport and elite athletes is valuable, best practice around that, and what the outlook for the next couple of years is. Hi, Lorna. Thank you very much for joining us on the Sit Down with Sport Endorse today. So let's get started with some basic questions. First of all, where do you come from?
Hi, Declan. Great to be chatting with you today. So I come from Dublin. I've been born and raised in Sandymount, and actually still live here to this day. I had a couple of years over in America, but the pull of the Sandymount strand brought me back.
Excellent stuff. Nice part of the city for sure. And as we're, you know, Sport Endorse is, as you know, a company that helps join brands with sport. The first question would be around that. Have you participated in sport yourself?
I have. So back in my school days, I would have played a lot of hockey and basketball, not very effectively. I'm quite tall, so I think everyone kind of had high hopes for me in the basketball area, but unfortunately it wasn't to be. But then when I went into college, I got really into tag rugby, and God, I think I played that for on and off for about 10 years. And as of recently, I've taken up boxing. So that's kind of my big sporting piece at the moment. Obviously not really a team sport, but I love it. I really enjoy that.
Absolutely excellent for fitness, though.
Oh, yeah, boxing, big time.
A lot of boxing routines are grueling. The tag rugby, that's interesting. There's actually an American football version of that is called flag football, and yeah, the European flag football championships are going to be on in Limerick this coming August. So,
oh, wow.
Just shows you there's sports within sports within sports sometimes.
That's it.
So you're currently working with Energia, and what's your role with Energia?
So I'm the sponsorship manager. So I would look after various different partnerships, and I do it across Energia and Power and I, so both in the Republic and Northern Ireland.
Okay, excellent. And I always ask sports people how they stay motivated on hard days. So it's I guess it's a little bit difficult in a corporate world because they tend to be different, but there are hard days still. So what's your go-to? What are your tricks for staying motivated?
God, that's such a hard question. Like, I think for me, if I'm ever kind of having a day where I feel like I'm stuck in a rut, I just break the kind of bigger tasks down into really small pieces. So I'll write very detailed to-do lists and just break things down that if I feel like a mountain is kind of insurmountable, if I just do it piece by piece, then it doesn't feel like a mountain. It just feels like kind of incremental steps. And that's kind of what would usually get me through some of the bigger, harder things. But I am lucky enough, to be honest, that I haven't had any really tough days in my time and energy anyway.
That strikes me as being a very smart approach to it. And you could align that with sport in a way, because as you know, in a lot of team sports or most sports, if you make a small error, it's not about focusing on the error. It's focusing on the next task, just the next task, the next task, and not being overwhelmed by the occasion. So quite similar in thought process, perhaps. So Energia, right? So I've done an intro, which everyone will have heard, but that was my take on Energia. So would you like to give us your take on Energia and what makes it such a wonderful company?
So Energia, it's a domestic and commercial energy supplier, but we also generate energy in the Irish market. The great thing, I think, for me about Energia is it's very innovative and progressive. We're always kind of looking at new things to do. And in the same way that kind of flows down into the way that we look at partnerships, we really like to be innovative in not just the partnerships that we have and the athletes that we work with, but also in how we activate those partnerships. And it really is a great place to work in that we really like trying new things. There's a lot of support from the top down. And, you know, we have had a lot of different kind of innovations in the space that we've worked in over the last few years with our different partnerships. So I'm not sure if you covered enough in the intro, but at present, we're partnered with Leinster Rugby. They've been our partners for the last 5 years, and with them, we are the official energy partners, and we have Energia Park. We are also partners with the IRFU, so through that, we're partners with the Irish rugby team, and also title sponsors of the Energia All-Ireland League, which actually the final is on in the Aviva this weekend between Clontarf and Tranmere, so it's all systems go in HQ this week.
Excellent.
We also are partnered with Shocked and Agrailga. And actually, in the past few years, we've really worked with Shocked and Agrailga and our other partners to overlay it. So we've had some of the female rugby players as brand ambassadors for Shocked and Agrailga, which has been fantastic. And we work with Leinster to do pop-up Gaeltacht even, in their fan zones in the RDS during match days, which has been really fantastic. And Mark Zabugla, who's in the Leinster team, or not team, their office team, he's fantastic. He's a Gaelgore, so he is brilliant at getting involved with us and giving us tips and tricks and translations. And this year we actually did a bit. He brought his kids in and got his kids to give some of the Leinster rugby players Irish lessons, which was a really lovely,
special.
It was fantastic. I mean, his son really ruled with an iron fist now, I have to say. I think the Leinster guys were saying that he was tougher on them than Leo Cullen, but definitely has a future in coaching ahead of him.
Marcus is an incredibly articulate man in both English and Irish.
Yes. Yeah,
so it's a good man to have helping you out for sure.
Big time.
So it strikes me maybe that the focus, and understandably, I guess if you supply the domestic market primarily across the island, is quite grassroots. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it is. And because as well, we're really invested in solar energy and wind energy and working with local communities on making different projects possible, we're quite invested in some quite localized partnerships. So we're sponsors of the Wexford Youth Women's Football Club and have been for a number of years now. We were the first sponsor to come on and fully pay for the subs for the team for the year. So I think that was 2 years ago that we came on with that. We've done some fantastic work with them as well. They're great partners to have in that area. We sponsor things down to local swims with Beat the Ferryman, where you can swim across Passage East from Wexford to Waterford. So yeah, there's loads of localized activity that we do. And then obviously, you know, Leinster is a massive rugby club, but it's comprised of a lot of smaller clubs within the province. And similarly with the Energy AIL, that's a lot of different rugby clubs that we get to engage with and be part of their rugby journey week in, week out, you know, during the rugby season. So we really like to jump on the kind of the piecemeal parts of what make up the bigger partners that we have, because we feel that they're the kind of life and soul of those partners behind the scenes.
Absolutely. I think that's it's admirable. And it actually, in my view, would probably drive greater brand loyalty from the cohorts that you're targeting, because you're helping literally at a family level almost.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, when you sponsor the Irish rugby team, you're there with a lot of other people. There's a lot of other people who get behind them. But I think what's really special for us with the Energy All-Ireland League is that it's we're the only ones who sponsor it. And so we get kind of this amazing access and opportunity to communicate with all of these grassroots fans who make the game that we love possible, which is actually our whole new campaign that we launched back in January, which was really just saying, like, you know, we have Stacey Foote and Hugo Keenan as brand ambassadors, and they're amazing and we absolutely love working with them. But the most important people in rugby aren't always the players on the pitch. Sometimes it's the people behind the scenes who make everything tick over day by day. And they contribute so much to the sport. So that was kind of, we really wanted to give back to them and show them that we saw them and appreciated them.
That's true. I think Hugo's story in particular from an Irish, I guess, men's rugby team is a very interesting story, because of course he went the sevens route.
Yes.
And then, you know, and is now arguably one of the standout fullbacks in the world.
Yes. So,
you know, absolutely amazing player.
Yeah.
And a lovely fella as well.
Oh yeah, he's brilliant. And he's just great to work with. You know, we've been lucky enough to work with a lot of really great ambassadors over the last few years, but Hugo and Stacey definitely stand out, and they get on great together, because Stacey is in the sevens world, and so they would have known each other prior to coming on as our partners. But yeah, no, Hugo's just gone from strength to strength, and it's amazing to be able to go on the journey with him. And even when he was over in New Zealand last year, he sent us a diary afterwards, just kind of telling us what it was like being over on the tour and what each of the different cities were like. And, you know, we didn't ask him to do that, but he kind of turned around and he knew the value that would have to us to be able to share that internally with staff and maybe with some customers. So he's very clued in and definitely understands what makes a good partnership.
Well, that's brilliant. I mean, it's excellent content as well, and unique. really.
Oh, big time.
So,
Yeah.
it's everybody loves a bit of behind the scenes to know what it's really like, you know. Not
Exactly.
all the media trained spin, you know.
Yes.
Oh, it was a game of two halves, very tough, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway,
Yeah.
so actually, tough question for you then. So you've done a lot, obviously, in and around sport. So what would you think is the most successful or satisfactory collaboration that you've done to date?
So, yeah, it is a tough one. I've gotten to do some really, really amazing stuff. And even in a previous life when I worked with Bulmers, we got to do amazing stuff. We were partners of the Gold Cup at Cheltenham. So that was a pretty amazing festival to be a part of. But I think actually the thing that really stands out that I've gotten to do was when I first took this job, a big thing for me, and I said it in my interview, was I'm a massive fan of Drive to Survive. And what really fascinates me about Drive to Survive is that it made a sport that had kind of maybe gone a bit stagnant and stale very accessible for people by showing the people behind the scenes. And I think that with sport, like, look, I'm a massive sports fan, but I think caring about the people and putting the faces to stories and understanding the stories of how people got to where they are is really what kind of engrosses us in it and really makes us more emotionally committed to it. So during COVID, obviously, look, everything went kind of up in the air. We were lucky enough that that things were still okay for us, and we were able to continue on with our partnerships. And I kind of went internally and I'd said, remember when I interviewed and I said that I love Drive to Survive and the whole idea of putting faces on the athletes and all that? I think, why don't we make a little documentary about the clubs that make up the Energy AAL? Because it was the 30-year anniversary in the 2020-2021 season. And in non-COVID times, we probably would have done an event or some sort of activity to re-celebrate that. But we weren't able to do that. So what we kind of did was we went to the IRFU, we had a chat with them, but initially the idea was that we would do four-minute pieces of content. So we'd get a few contributors, we'd have a chat about the 90s, you know, the real glory days before the professionalism of the sport. When all of the kind of heroes were born. And we put out a survey and kind of expected to maybe get a handful of people to respond. We actually also sponsor a podcast called the Club Scene Podcast, who have great connections in the league. And to be fair, have been such a massive help and support for us to really understand all the different clubs and dynamics and everything. And so they put out the survey as well. So we got a huge amount of responses back, telling us different stories. We kind of broke it down into, when initially the plan was four different episodes, was what was the history of the league, what were the heroes of the league, what's the community behind the league, and what's the future of the league. So we've kind of broken the questions down into buckets that would fall into place there. And just the richness of the stories and the emotions and everything that we were getting across, I kind of realized we'd struck gold. And so we went about saying, okay, well, you know, obviously budget is always a big thing in our world, but if we could do this at a reasonable budget, would someone like T.G. Cahir maybe come on board and air a documentary if we made a 1-hour documentary? So we went to T.G. Cahir, and to be fair, they were brilliant. They were immediately bought in. They're so fantastic with working at the grassroots side of things as well. So they said, yeah, perfect. If you make it and it's of good quality and all of that, we're definitely on board. So then we kind of just, COVID, it was summer, so things had kind of loosened up a little bit, and we were able to go and travel around the country and meet with a lot of these people who had put their stories forward. And God, I think it was a 14-day shoot, and we went to, God, I can't remember how many clubs, but I know that we interviewed over 50 people. We had over 60 hours of interview footage. And we got B-roll, and every province was covered. And not only from the people in the club, but we also had professional players like Keith Earls come forward, like completely off his own bat, because he really wanted to chat about it. It wasn't in an official partnership sense or through the IRFU. He contributed himself. I think he actually might have driven 2 hours from his family holiday somewhere up to Young Munsters to have a chat about us and the days with his dad playing for them, which
My
was
God,
just,
that's brilliant.
It was incredible. Yeah. And
well, he's a special character and has been an amazing servant to Munster and Irish rugby.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just the amazing stories he was telling us about, like him and his dad playing together, but also his memories of going to the clubhouse when he was a kid. And just like, you know, his dad was obviously such a massive inspiration in his life. It was amazing stuff. And so, yeah, then we had to set about cutting down these 60 hours worth of interview footage into 1 hour. And we did, and it's, I think Peter Carr have aired it about 5 times to at this stage, but the first airing I think got about 70,000 to 80,000 views, which was incredible, because I think that was above the average URC viewership game on Peter Carr. So wow. It does shows, yeah, that like people do love grassroots because they appreciate it, and even if you're not a rugby player or a rugby fan, these stories resonate across all sports, like, you know, across GA, across soccer. There's all these really amazing stories that I think you only get in the grassroots from it.
Yeah, the 60 hours into 1 hour, I wouldn't have envied that, because that's a tough task.
Yeah,
let alone getting it all. But, you know, how do you trim back? Anyway, I guess there are professionals who are
we got an editor. Yeah, our editor had no interest in rugby. So he was able to like just very cutthroat be like, this is crap. Because that was the thing. We really want to grow the sport and really grow the league and grow club rugby in Ireland. So it had to be content that resonated with people outside of the immediate kind of fandom. We wanted it to be accessible for other people as well, to kind of really to get back to the numbers that it had in the 90s, before the professional side of the sport came through. But yeah, no, it's been fantastic. And even since then, I'm like, look, I think it's a result of COVID as well, but the attendance at matches and the rise of rugby in Ireland, I think, has really shone through since COVID. I think the sense of community that was developed as a result of everything has really bolstered the clubs and people's engagement in their own communities and appreciation for their kind of local facilities that they have.
Absolutely. No, I'd concur with all of that. So I guess then, kind of broadening out, so we're talking grassroots, but there are lots of trends that we see among all the brands using various different athletes across the Sport North platform. And one which is undoubtedly growing is the use of social media. So like, how important is that in your view? And do you think that's going to become more or less of a role? I guess one question that's constantly in the back of my head is TikTok, yes or no? I mean, it's huge, but there's lots of activity at a governmental level in different places, which maybe might impact that ultimately. But forgetting it as a specific thing, as a general brush, social media, I mean, it's almost the antithesis of grassroots in my view, but it has a purpose, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is hard. Like, you know, I think it depends. Like, social media completely depends on who's using it and for what. Like, I think it's amazing for the clubs that they're able to get their fixture times. They're able to talk about a lot of different events and you know, basically build kind of a mailing list, essentially, but in real time. But I think for athletes, it's a real double-edged sword. You know, you add value to yourself by building a following, and you know, you're able to communicate directly with your fans. But at the same time, if you make one misstep, you're going to be heavily scrutinized and potentially punished for it. And like, we've seen it in recent times, in recent years, I think in Ireland with specific athletes, and it's really tough. Like, one mistake which you could make could really end up, you know, sending you viral or ending up across all the news outlets. And I think, you know, anyone who has social media and has kind of grown up into the world with social media, we've all said silly things online, but we just were lucky to not be followed by 100,000 or more people that were waiting for you to trip up and make a mistake. So I think while it is a great tool for communication, you kind of almost have to see social media, if you're an athlete, as an extension of your business.
It's not a social platform,
no,
ironically, for you.
It's a business platform. And like, there's some athletes who definitely, I think, kind of use it quite well. Like some of the Sevens guys really document their travels, which are fascinating and it's amazing. But I have noticed with the 15s men's team in particular, like there's not a whole lot of social media action from them. And presumably that's an intentional move. But I think there is scope, and you can see it with TikTok partnering with the Six Nations.
I would applaud that. I think it's great to have a big brand rolling in behind, well, women's sports specifically and in rugby.
But it's such an impressive partnership. Like, it's a great idea. And like, you know, like all the politics you had mentioned aside, you know, what were the problems that the Women's Six Nations had? And it was exposure. And TikTok is an amazing partner to have for that, because that's exactly what it can offer. And obviously the nature of TikTok is that it's not geographically targeted specifically. It can be kind of worldwide getting the exposure, which is fantastic. So hopefully, and I presume the aim is that it'll grow women's rugby beyond just the Six Nations that it sponsors. But yeah, I think it's such a complex question. I don't think I definitely have the right answer for it. But I think with anyone, and I wouldn't just say it to athletes, I think anyone who has any substantial followings or any following at all, really, you just have to be so careful with what you say online and don't say anything that you wouldn't want plastered up on a billboard, you know?
Yeah, I saw something recently and it was like something like, dance like nobody can see you, but write or speak like the whole world is being broadcast to.
Yeah, exactly. And that is it.
Anyway, I guess times are changing all the time. So it's, you know, we need to adapt. That's kind of it. So I guess, again, looking at all of that, I mean, first of all, I'm wondering if you ever sleep or if you've got a massive team behind you, because that's a lot of content and a whole lot of different things to kind of manage all the time.
Yeah.
Do you sleep?
I do sleep. I get up very early, which is a post-lockdown thing where I just force myself to get up. But I've got two great other women who I work with, Sarah and Colleen, specifically on the sponsorship team. And then I've got a fantastic manager, Amy O'Shaughnessy, who's the head of brand. And she's been in Energia for a very long time. And, you know, she really understands what makes the brand tick. And that's very important, obviously, for a sponsorship manager to have, you know, absolute clarity in what. There's no point sponsoring something if it's not, you know, meeting the business objectives. So Amy is really fantastic at making that happen. And then we've got fantastic agencies across the board, and our partners are really great to work with. Like, I think that is such an important piece of the sponsorship puzzle, is having partners that you can pick up the phone to and just kind of thrash things out with and say, will this work? Why won't it work? Okay, no problem, back to the drawing board. And we're really lucky to have that with all of our partners, kind of from the IRFU right down to some of our smaller partnerships. And all of them also kind of are really good at working together. Like I mentioned, our crossover between Shock to Nicaragua and Leinster Rugby. They've really built relationships like over the last number of years. And we've been doing those pop-up crossovers, God, since 2019. So, and Leinster will often come to us with great ideas for Shock to Nicaragua and say, this would be a really cool thing for you guys to do. And similarly, Shock to Nicaragua, the guys who want to Conor Nicaragua will come to us and say, this is fantastic. So I think it's just like kind of marrying everyone together into a big pot so they're all working towards the common goal. And actually, half the battle is enjoying what you do. And I'm really, really lucky to really enjoy everything that I do, all the partnerships that I work on, and of course, Energia being a fantastic brand to work on as well.
It's amazing, really. The communication that clearly is going on between you and all the various different partners is great. But that openness and that kind of that comfort with being able to propose different ideas to each other, it's excellent. I mean, you're almost a textbook case study for how it should be done. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's days now where my liaisons in the different places are going, oh, Jesus, she's calling us again. What does she want this time? But especially this week, to be fair, with the Energy NAL final and the Aviva on Sunday, it's been a lot of communication, but sure, that's how you get things done, you know, and we'll all be happy on Sunday, no matter who the winner is.
Absolutely. Well, sure, look, after the podcast, I'll reach out to the editor of the Harvard Business Review and say, look, there's a case study in this. You should get in touch with Lorna.
But, yeah, just don't ask for quotes from anyone else.
So I guess, I mean, we've touched on this slightly, but when you're aligning with anybody or any entity or risk is a part of life, right? So we've touched on it in conjunction with social media and what can happen there. But if you're looking at a partnership, grassroots or otherwise, what kind of risks do you think need to be considered, or how do you mitigate them?
I think you have to kind of look at what your brand and your business values are and be quite clear in the partnership phase around, you know, what that entails for us. But then also ask the partners who you're beginning a negotiation with, are these things as important for you? Do you see any of these things, you know, coming up as an issue in the near future? Like, they'll be quite aware of things that are coming down the track, and nobody wants to be stuck in a partnership that's full of friction. So I think just being very clear up front, but then also understanding what the goals are for the partnership, but also for your partner. So where do they see themselves in the next 5 years? What do they actually want to achieve? And like, look, things happen. There's always going to be mistakes or bumps in the road that will inevitably come up. And I think just being able to really clearly communicate and understand what the thought process behind things was and what the drivers have been, like, it's happened in the past. But I think once there's no kind of real malintent, there shouldn't be anything that you can't get through. like, and that's kind of from a partnership perspective. And then with dealing with athletes, we've actually been really lucky. We've never dealt with anybody who's really had any big mishaps or anything like that. But that's not to say that it won't happen. But I think you just kind of cross that bridge when you come for it. You always plan for the worst, but prepare and hope for the best, but be somewhat prepared for what might fall in the middle.
It's funny, because of social media, I think so much of the, if an athlete slips up, that tends to be where, you know, the court of social media weighs in. We've seen quite a lot of mainly positive, but we have seen some of that kind of thing happen as well. It tends to be, you know, largely easy enough to manage if it's tackled straight on and with honesty and integrity. Yeah, in what we've seen.
That's it. I think people put their hands up and, you know, honesty is the best policy, I think, a lot of the time. I think the worst thing you could do is get caught lying. But yeah, I think, as you said, just taking accountability and understanding where the criticism might be coming from so that the mistake doesn't happen again. Everybody has to be given room to grow. Everybody and you know, and partners, and everyone should be entitled to the space to do that.
Absolutely, I agree. So I know we've talked a lot about Energia, and that's your current role. You mentioned Bulmers before, but you have worked across different sectors. So do you think that there are specific industries that align well with sport, or do you think it's something which could work for most industries?
I think it can definitely work with most industries. I think that, you know, we're kind of coming into a time where there's different industries that are being looked at differently. Obviously, betting, alcohol, crypto, if in the Formula One world. And I think there is space for that conversation to happen. I think people kind of understand why it is happening in that sense. But I do think that most industries can benefit from sponsorship if they understand what they're trying to achieve and they align correctly with their partners in that sense. I think, you know, that's what the vehicle of sponsorship is trying to deliver, is a really authentic way to get to your audience and communicate with them in a way that they want to be communicated with and in a way that is of value to them. And what businesses don't really benefit from that. I can't really think of anyone that couldn't benefit. Like, even if you look at sports like Formula One, and God, the variety of partners that they have in that is crazy, which does just go to show that if you find a good partnership, anything can kind of work in that space. It's just how you activate it as well.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much. That was the perfect answer for me. Yeah. So clearly as a believer in sport aligning with business, that was the perfect answer. So it made me very happy this Friday. So, which leads into, I guess, a run-on question from that in my head about how sport can sometimes transcend cultures and therefore becomes a useful conduit for a brand getting its message out there. Now, in the context of, so we've talked a lot of rugby. So if you look at the Six Nations, well, you've got six different nations there and therefore one could argue six different cultures at play.
Yeah.
It works across all sports to some degree because there is a commonality, I guess, between fans and the sports people themselves within specific sports, which maybe transcends a little bit the cultural side of things. What do you think? True or false?
Oh, it's kind of, I don't know. I think it does. Yeah, I think like when you look at things like the Six Nations and again, Formula One, golf, all of these different things, it really does unify different people. But like sports can also be quite divisive in ways, being honest, like not just from one fandom kind of, you know, clashing with another fandom, but also like political issues kind of coming to the fore sometimes as a result. And like look at like, you know, LIV Golf versus the PGA. That's been very divisive of a fandom that, you know, I think it's and it's not finished yet. It's all kind of even continuing to come to a head as things progress and more decisions are made. So while it can be a great unifier and transcend cultures, it can also kind of come back the other way and rear its ugly head sometimes.
And cause division. Yeah, it is an interesting one. The golf one in particular fascinates me because, you know, partly I see it as if the incumbent situation, everybody's happy with it. Well, everybody clearly wasn't happy with it, right? But if it is, you know, the incumbent, it clearly doesn't want a challenger. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, does in a free market type world slash economy, what's wrong with a bit of challenge, you know? Those that have the right. And I think if it's more longer term in my head, and you mentioned values being important, I'm a huge believer in values. And I think if the right values are there, it wins in the long run. Yeah. But I guess there could be short term pain. Yeah.
I think, yeah. And I completely understand as well. Like, you know, like in order to, and it happens in a lot of sports, right? As we said, there's, you know, there's tag rugby, there's flag football. And oftentimes, you know, all sheets of sports, if they develop something more innovative, that's actually better than the kind of main sport can adopt it, like new rules. But I think, yeah, and like, look, I think that that's what's really come out of the whole thing for the PGA is that they had a need for innovation. And I think they are working on addressing that with Rory McIlroy front and center. But I think that the PGA were in a lucky position in one way because of who LIV Golf were backed by and what they kind of, where the money is from and the way that they went about things. And it kind of gave the PGA quite a nice narrative to build good guy, bad guy storylines, which we all saw play out on Netflix, I think, in that Full Swing doc. but it is a really interesting one. Like, you know, you do need to have a bit of competition to get a bit of innovation flowing, but at what cost, I suppose, is the live question.
And my argument there would be values are important. Yeah. But again, it's more of, that's more of a long-term play. Okay, so we'll step back from the brink of controversy and we'll step into something which is arguably more complex. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So yeah. Best practice for measuring return on investment when it comes to using sport.
Yeah, so we're very lucky. We work with the Brand Fans, which is head up by Dara Purse, and he's a godsend. So he helps us when we get sponsorship proposals through. He helps us kind of go through it and evaluate it and weigh it up against our sponsorship strategy, which he was also a large part in helping us come up with. And then when it comes to the evaluating, I compile all of our data into one nice big folder. And Dara helps us make sense of it. And he breaks it down in a lot of ways around, you know, it isn't just about return on investment, which is very hard to measure. That's not energy is, you know, primary function really with our sponsorship strategy. It's for us, like we want to be engaged with the community. You know, our business objectives are community focused. Our internal communication strategy has a lot to do with community. We're community driven. And that's a really large part of it, which I think you can kind of see from our sponsorship portfolio. And so we weigh things up in that lens and we look at how the sponsorship makes people feel. We look at how it changes their perceptions of the brand. We're very good at measurement in all of those ways. We have benchmarks in place that we're pretty stringent with. So it really does help us at the end of a season look at everything that's gone on, all of the different ways we've activated, what worked, what didn't work, and against the benchmarks that we've had set so that we can measure all of our sponsorships against each other as well. So we can see how the sponsorship made people feel, what they saw, and what it made them do. And, you know, obviously at the end of the day, we want energy customers. So likelihood to switch is a massive thing for an energy company. But building trust for us is a really massive priority. And that's what our sponsorship strategy is really good at pulling through. And that's what Dara helps us evaluate and
very, very happy to hear that, because my, again, it's a personal belief, is that sponsorship shouldn't just be about simply financial returns. Obviously that's important, but social, environmental, you know, there's a whole lot of other criteria which I think should feed into it.
Absolutely. And I'd
have thought your focus on grassroots, as I mentioned earlier, you know, and values longer term, it does pay off. But yeah, it's also sometimes about doing the right thing. Anyway, for listeners, so Dara and Brand Fans, if you're having any questions about how to measure or how to get your structures together, he's a good guy to talk to.
The best.
Yeah. Good stuff. So maybe we'll hop into some sort of semi quick fire type questions. And again, the first few are maybe complex. So the top three moments in your career to date in relation to sport.
Oh gosh. Well, I think Cheltenham and the Gold Cup, which I mentioned earlier, like that was just an insane experience. Like the size of Cheltenham and the way that they build everything around this race course was just incredible to be a part of. And obviously the Gold Cup being the pinnacle of that, but also the complexities of at the time when I was working for Bulmers, but it was Bulmers and Magners who were jointly sponsoring the Gold Cup. So there was a lot of really interesting tactics that we had to use to use the same sponsorship, but with two different brands and with one brand that couldn't actually be in the other market, because Bulmers in the UK is a completely different product owned by our competitors. So yeah, it was a fun time, but I really got to learn a lot. And we did a Road to Gold series where we traveled around Ireland. You'll see, I really like making content. So we traveled around Ireland interviewing different Irish jockeys and stable owners, and then ending up basically going from Tipperary, obviously the home of Bulmers Cider, all the way over to Cheltenham Racecourse with Vogue Williams and Holly Bell. So that was really enjoyable. I've also really enjoyed a recent project that I've gotten to work on with Energia. We're looking into neurodiversity in rugby and what the current kind of lay of the land is. And we're really hoping to work with Leinster Rugby on a strategy moving forward. And then the third thing was obviously the documentary. That was just an incredible couple of weeks that, you know, resulted in a 1 hour piece that ended up in television, and I got to live my Drive to Survive dreams of making a long form piece of content that resonated with people. So that was definitely, I think, the highlight of my work in sport to date.
And that also means that when anybody listens to that, there's going to be a flood of applicants to sponsorship roles across the country now.
Yeah, that's it.
Sounds like so much fun. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So those are the good points. We touched on this, and I know. So what was the hardest moment? I can think of one or two in my own sporting type thing, which is mainly around the demise of somebody, unfortunately, which that kind of thing impacts. But what's been the hardest moment, or has there been one? Or is it in the future? Hopefully not.
Not in the contrast of the demise of somebody in the contrast of that. God, no days have been that bad, touch wood. But I think everybody, like, you know, there's projects that you work on that you think is going well, and then you kind of get to, and you've committed a lot of time to them, and then you've kind of gotten to the end of the road and you're like, this isn't going to work, or this actually isn't going to serve the brand. That's happened a couple of times where there's been many a sleepless night and a lot of work gone into something just to realize, actually, this isn't the right thing to do, no matter how much I want to do it. And those are always kind of very demoralizing. But I've been quite lucky, to be fair, that everything that I've gotten to work on has been really great, and I've really enjoyed it. And I've gotten to work with incredible people and with incredible partners on incredible activations. So I think the good days really outweigh the bad days and make bad days worth it in the end. And I might kind of look on the positive side of things. And you know, the bad days usually build up to something else. Not to be using the old cliche of everything happens for a reason, but if you can look at things through that lens, I think it makes the bad days easier to kind of get over.
Absolutely. And, you know, any challenges are really opportunities. Yeah.
Exactly.
We subscribe to that in Sport North because we've had plenty of challenges, and actually they've generally turned into opportunities. Yeah, you just need to be open to it. Okay, and then now a bit of fun maybe. So, I mean, you've interacted with sport quite a lot and you've played a bit. So in that context, who's the best joker you've met?
Not just because she's our brand ambassador, but Stacey Flood is a very funny woman. She's been really great to work on with a lot of things. I actually knew her before she became our brand ambassador. I played against her in tag once upon a time, so I kind of get the twofold on her there. She was substantially better than I was, as you can probably imagine. But everything that we've gotten to do with Stacey, she always brings a really good, lighthearted, fun spirit to it. And she's definitely the joker that we enjoy working with the most, I'd say.
This is a bit of a tangent of a question, but taking that energy that Stacey has and that kind of that fun element, do you think that sports people in general bring maybe a higher level of energy to situations than, I don't know, a normal person who just has a 9-to-5 job? Or
not always. Not always.
No.
There's been athletes in the past that I've worked with that definitely haven't brought up that much energy, but I think the right athlete that align with what you're trying to do. But you also don't want a joker in every situation, you know. There's a time and a place for it. But no, I don't think necessarily that all athletes are automatically the life and soul, but Stacey definitely is.
Yeah, no, okay. It was a bit of a sneaky question from my perspective, because obviously we deal with over 5,000 different athletes, and it's growing all the time.
The correct answer is yes, they bring amazing energy to everything.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say they bring amazing energy at all. Like everything in life, it depends on the individual. I do think that they can bring a diligence and a kind of a determination to a situation, which can
big
be quite
time. Yeah. And they can offer fantastic perspective on things as well. Like, we've done a lot of corporate gigs, and, you know, you definitely don't want to be sending in somebody who's not a right fit to be, you know, doing a talk with the CEO or the MDs. But I think, you know, like, athletes are just people, and everybody has a different personality type. And once that's all matched up, then you can have absolutely amazing partnerships in all areas and facets that you could require them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a subscriber to that as well. Okay, so the Nerves of Steel winner. Have you met somebody who you think is, my God, their nerves are just, they don't have any. They're amazing.
So I'm going to be, again, quite cheeky and say Hugo Keenan. And I think it actually, you know, if you look at his career to date, especially since joining the Irish team, like, he doesn't step a foot wrong. He doesn't even look like he's trying half the time. Like, when he's there running, getting a try-saving tackle in, like, you're kind of going, were you even going at full pace there? He just makes everything look so easy. He never looks flustered, and definitely nerves of steel on and off the pitch, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you on that, because I think Hugo's exceptional.
But he is.
Okay, so, and then within Energia, who's the biggest sports fan other than you, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I'm definitely up there. I would actually say it's a tie between Amy O'Shaughnessy, who's the head of brand, and Daniel Horgan, who works on our energy transition team. And Amy, she's highly competitive. If we have anything going, a quiz about sport, or we did a fantasy league for the Six Nations, Amy is there studying, preparing, getting it all ready. And she'll go to absolutely everything as well. She's amazing at, you know, she has a young family, but she still gets up and goes to the Women's Six Nations Games in Cork. And, you know, she'll be at the Energy AL final on Sunday. So she's definitely up there with our biggest sports fans. And makes everybody very enthusiastic about the different partners that we have, and others as well. She's great.
That's really good. Internally in an organization, if you've got people who are helping with that, it helps bring the partnerships alive internally as well. So you get such
big
a benefit.
Time.
Yeah. All right, and we'll wrap up with five short questions specifically in relation to yourself. You're a sporting hero if you have one.
Oh gosh, Michael Jordan, probably. Okay. I've watched a lot of content with him recently.
Have you seen that? It's a Jordan linked in my head, but have you seen the video of Giannis basically after being asked, did he consider his season to be a failure?
Yes, I actually saw that on LinkedIn, and I thought it was brilliant. Thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, a super articulate. No, he mentions Jordan in that, which is why it linked in my head. Yeah. So best sports event or occasion you've been at?
It's going to be this Sunday, the Energy AL final in the Aviva. It was a fantastic occasion last year. It was the same finalist, Clontarf and Terenure. And Terenure brought an incredible crowd. And actually, we had brought Gerry Thornley along, and he said, and I wrote it in an article, that it was one of the best atmospheres he'd experienced in the Aviva in a long time. But I'm also really looking forward to the Champions Cup final in a few weeks with La Rochelle and Leinster. I think that's going to be an amazing day, and hopefully having the home advantage that time will help the guys get it across the line. And I also was really lucky and got to go to Monza in 2021, just when it had opened up, the Formula One, after COVID, and they only released 50% of the tickets. So it was a 50% empty Monza, and so everything was very easy to get in and out of, great seats, and got to see the Formula One that day. And it was Daniel Ricciardo's win for McLaren, and he would have been my top driver. So yeah, that was a fantastic event to go to.
That was certainly the stars aligning. Yeah.
Yes. Very lucky. Very lucky.
Special indeed. Your favorite way to relax?
I love going for walks on Sandy Main Strand with a good audiobook. That's kind of how I tend to chill out a bit.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the sea. I think the light, the way it reflects off it, and is very good for the head. Yeah.
Just the fresh air as well. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. Best thing that's happened to you so far this week?
Oh God, this week. Probably that it's Friday today. I went out for a few drinks last night with a couple of friends, and it was really nice to catch up. And yeah, I'd say that was probably the highlight of my week so far.
Okay. And finally, your hopes for the rest of 2023.
I'm really looking forward to that project that I mentioned earlier around neurodiversity in rugby coming to life. We've kind of been working on it for the last 6 to 8 months even, and we're kind of in a place now where we're happy to kind of start bringing it to the world and partnering with Leinster officially on it. So that's kind of still in the works, but it's at a place now where we're all really happy with it. So I'm really excited to see where that goes over the next few months.
Excellent stuff. Well, you've got me now super curious, so I'll be keeping an eye out for it for sure.
It'll be everywhere. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Then I won't need to go to Specsavers anyway. So listen, Lorna, thank you very much for taking time out to talk to us here on the Sit Down at Sport Endorse. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully the listeners have as well. Some really good insights in there. I think apart from being clearly very articulate, you're passionate about what you do. That comes through in so many ways. And I've thoroughly enjoyed the chat. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much. I've had a great day chatting about and reminiscing on some of the projects I've got to work on. It's been a lovely Friday afternoon now.
Thanks, Lorna. That's all for this episode. Thanks once again to Lorna for giving us her time and sharing her insights. If you're interested in learning more about Energia, check out energia.ie. And if you're considering a marketing collaboration with Elite Sports People, remember, the Sport Endorse platform is a great solution. Be sure to follow us on social media channels for all the latest updates. And until next time, take care and be relentless.